Probably.
Okay, so what I'd like to take up today is the machlokas, about the very basic machlokas here, is what is Terah? Okay? Which originally I said I didn't really want to take up, but I kind of changed my mind. So the question is, the Torah says, Yom Terah Yelacham, should be a day of Terah. Okay, the question is, what is Terah refer to? Definitely Terah means a broken sound. Cry, a broken sound, that's contrasted with a blast, which is a tekiah. True is a broken sound. But which, a broken sound, a cry. Now, which kind of cry? Okay, because the Targum says it means yavava, it's a cry. Which kind of cry? There are two kinds of cries, there are two kinds of broken sounds. There's the what we call chua, and then there's shvarim, which is kind of broken, medium broken. Okay? And which parallels to the hysterical cry and the moaning. Okay, the hysterical cry is like what we call shvarim, and the moaning is what we call shvarim. And it's not clear what did the Torah mean when it said shvarim? Which kind of cry was it referring to? Right? And that's why we play out, given that we don't know, we lost the Masara. It's unknown to us. Torah meant one of them. Okay, simple pshat, Torah meant one of them. Okay, but we don't know which one, so that's why we do both. Forget Tashrat for now, forget the combo deal, but let's just talk about those two. So therefore, the Gemara says we have to do both. The Mishnah held it was the Terua, the hysterical cry. The Braisa held it was the Shvarim, it was the moaning cry. Right? So Machlokas, but we do both because we don't know which one. Right? So the question is, can we define the machlokas, which one it is? And is it just a matter of what cry is it, or is there a svara here? Okay, now originally I didn't want to define this question because it sounds like, hey, you know, where are you going to move here? You can start saying, is what kind of cry the Torah wants you to do? I mean, I don't know the different kinds of cries. You know, what are you going to say? So you can start speculating as to, well, this cry is when a person's really upset, and this one is like pretty upset, and on Rosh Hashanah we're doing tshuva, and I don't know, whatever. You can start, you know, whatever. But that's kind of it's a highly speculative affair. And it wasn't really, I don't know. But the question, from what we did, I don't know, I kind of had a new angle. Maybe, but I would think you'd want to make a svara, you know, something which is like a little more grounded, and that kind of stuff is very loose and out there, and you can almost say anything. You start opening up the door to say things like that. So the question is, could we take some more solid steps and turn to the final halachas? Well, one thing which, so just what got me thinking is, we did the Ritva the a few days ago, okay, and the Ritva basically was taking up.
Do you want this connected?
No, I don't know. It doesn't work when it's connected and it works anyway. Yeah, so the Ritva said, the basic question was, is like, why is it that the term Terua in the Torah is vague? It means a broken sound. And it could mean both sounds partake of brokenness, right? A Shavarim partakes of brokenness, but a Terua is really broken, right? So the term Terua, we don't know what the Torah means, broken. Which broken? But that's in the language of the Torah. The Torah is talking loosely. But when people actually use the terms, you got to pick. You got the words have to be precise. So therefore, when the Gemara and the Mishnah or parlance basically took on, even though they're both broken, it called the one which is more broken, it called that true. Okay, the hysterical cry. And the one which is less broken, it gave a different name, Shvarim. Okay, Shvarim. Even though they both really partake of brokenness, and in a loose sense, you could refer to them both as Terua, but in a more, you know, if you want to, for the sake of giving names, nomenclature, you don't have two things having the same name, so therefore it wasn't arbitrary, it chose the one which is more broken, right? More broken. So, and we explained that, it doesn't mean more broken, so we realized a Terua is like, you could call it, it's essentially broken. Okay, I'm not sure if that's the right word, essentially.
The essence of the Terua is being
what?
Broken.
What?
The essence of the
Terua. The essence of the Terua is a broken sound, exactly. It's essentially a broken sound. From, so to speak, descriptively, from any which way you look at it, it's broken. It doesn't have any length at all. It's kolshu. It's the smallest, it's a bunch of the smallest possible sound. There's no extension to the thing. It's just a bunch of broken sounds. Okay, there's no, it's totally like the opposite of a Terua, of a tekiah, which is a blast. This is totally a broken sound. It's essentially It's like that definition is the broken sound. In a shvarim, it's really like straight sounds. If you, so to speak, isolate each of the three pieces of the shvarim, they're straight sound. But it's just like, with contrast to the blast is a long straight sound. And each shever is a short straight sound. So the three shvarim, so to speak, in contrast to the tekiah, they're broken. Yeah, but they're not in their own right. They really have the same. They're really quantitatively differentiated from the tekiah, because each one is like a 1 second blast, or tekiah is a 3 second blast. They have the quality of straight. They're pshuta. They're straight. It's just that they're shorter than the blast. So they're shorter, and you could so to speak say they're broken blasts. It's like a blast with the quality of brokenness, as opposed to a teruah, which is essentially a broken sound. Okay? Or if you wanted to think of it in the framework, see, there's two ways of looking at this. You could look in the framework of broken sounds, kind of the framework the Ritva has, or in the framework of a cry. You could say, like, the cry, that's essentially a cry. Okay, that's like, I think the same kind of thing carries through. It's like the sound which is, the moan sound, the one, it's not. Intrinsically, it's the same thing as a sound, as a straight sound. It's just that they're shorter. So when a guy moans, you kind of let out, you know, you don't give a full blast, though, but you let out, you know, shorter sounds. So it's, but there's still, they partake of the cryness of the shvarim is based upon its comparison with a straight blast. As opposed to in the trua, essentially that's the sound of crying. That's knowing that sound is made by crying. Okay, the sound of shvarim is a straight sound. It's just that it's because of its comparison relative to the tekiah, it's like a cry, okay, because it's broken, right? That's what we said. Now the question is, could this give us insight into which one? The Torah says Yom Teruah Yelachem, it should be a day of crying or a day of broken sounds. So the question is, which one would you say the Torah says it means? Okay, it was either side. Easier to understand, so to speak. Or what would you think at first, if you given that we have, because now we have a little bit more insight into what is true in tekiah. As opposed to just describing it psychologically, in terms of the sounds, they're a little bit different. Good. So you're right. Is that given this description, it would seem natural to say that Yom Teruah means a day of crying. You mean pick the real cry, pick the real essential broken sound. That sound which is essentially broken. Don't pick the thing which is kind of sort of a cry, kind of sort of broken, in comparison to the tekiah is broken. You would think, Yom Teruah Yelachem, the day of the cry, the day of the broken sound, pick that sound which typifies the quality of a brokenness of a cry. You think, right? That only seems natural. Right? If you buy that, the question now becomes, what's the defense for the side to say that it's a shvarim? And it says they are crying, and there's one cry which is called cry because it typifies the quality of cry. There's another one which is sort of a cry, you know, partakes of cryness, but it's not quite that sound. So then you'd think, and the Torah is saying Yom Teruah, the Torah is selecting the real cry. What's the what would be the force behind arguing with that? So Shai, I swear, where did the keys come from?
Every blast has to be accompanied by a blast before and a blast after.
Every Teruah, yeah. So basically, the Gemara asks, it says, let me see, it says, I'm reading on the bottom of the Lamed Gimel Beis, but you don't have to see it, I'm going to translate. But he basically says, Muminayin Shepshut Alfaneha. So how do I know? Because basically the Torah says, Yom Teruah, Zechon Teruah. It's always saying Teruah, Teruah, Teruah. How do I know that there should be a tekiah beforehand and a tekiah afterwards? A straight sound before and a straight sound after. Tanu Lomar. So at first it says, how do I know it should be a shem before? V'habarta Shofar. And you shall pass a shofar, and havara it refers, it's like a reference, like a straight, a long sound. It should pass over the teruah. Yeah, like the term, I don't know exactly how it means that, but basically the lashon of havara is like a drawn out. I don't know, whatever. It's a drawn out sound. So therefore, havarta shofar teruah, and you should, the verb, you should pass up forth a cry. So it implies first you have havara, first you have a straight one, and then a teruah. And then it says, okay, Rashidul Halachoraha, Tamalomar Taviru Shofar. Okay, Taviru Shofar. You should pass forth a shofar. No, again, it says that. Taviru Shofar. Yeah, there's another one the Gemara says also. This is, I think this one's a little more, let me read the other one. It's a little easier to understand. It says, this is on Lamed Aleph and Aleph. It says, U'menei shadof now, u'sekatem terua. And you shall tekia a terua. Okay? You shall tekia, u'sekatem terua. You shall tekia a terua. So that sounds like contradiction. Skatem, but skatem means to blow. But it means like to blow like a blast. So what do you mean, u'sekatem terua? So it's telling you first the tekia, then a terua. And then it says the other way, u'menei shadof now, terua yisku. Says a terua, you shall tekia, you shall blow. Terua yisku. So it's saying is that teaches you that terua, then a tekia. So it says it's kata terua means first tekia, then terua, and then terua yisku means terua, then tekia. So there's an idea is that throughout, everyone agrees that the terua is surrounded by a tekia on both sides. Okay, that's from the second. Okay, good. Okay, small step. Smaller step than you guys are taking. Then we'll go to your steps. Okay? But the smaller step, which I think is a little more certain, is that the question is, I would say like this, is that if it really is shy, I think you're taking a good angle here, is that if it said just Yom Teruah Yalacham, if there's a mitzvah to blow a teruah, mitzvah to make a cry, okay, mitzvah to cry, then you'd say, the real cry is the real cry, the real cry is the teruah, is the hysterical cry. Everyone agrees that would be it, okay? But the mitzvah is not just the teruah. It's a tekiah, teruah, tekiah. It's a teruah surrounded by tekiahs. The teruah exists in a larger context. It exists as part of a grouping, and that grouping has a tekiah on both sides of it, okay? So it doesn't just exist in isolation. It exists in contrast to tekiahs. Okay, so the question is does the shame teruah emerge from the sound itself? The Torah says teruah, you know the term teruah. Does it mean that sound which is defined essentially independently as a teruah? Okay, and oh yeah, then take that sound and surround it by tekiahs. Or do you say that the teruah gains its existence as a teruah from the tekiahs? It's that teruah which exists as a cry, as a broken sound, together with the tekiahs. It's the teruah in comparison with the tekiahs. Okay, and there's the teruah which is the shvarim. That's what we said, is what is the shvarim? The shvarim is not broken per se, it's broken in contrast to the tekiahs. Well, the mitzvah, it is in contrast to the tekiahs. The teruah is placed right in the middle of the tekiahs. So is it saying, do that sound which is essentially an independently teruah, or is it, so to speak, a relative teruah? The teruah of the tekiahs, which exists in contrast to the tekiahs. Okay? That's one step. It's not that satisfying yet. Okay? Because you'd ask, is why not just go with the real teruah? Right? It's kind of like begs the question is, I mean, the real teruah also is a teruah in contrast to the tekiahs. It just, it's even better. You know, so it's like, what do you gain? What do you gain by that? Right? What advantage is there to doing that one? But I'm just saying I'm just defining what it is that there are two different kinds of true. One is intrinsically true, and the other is a true to get in contrast to the tekiahs. But the mitzvah, you notice, is the mitzvah does exist in contrast to the tekiahs. So it's not intrinsically bothersome that it's a teruah. What kind of teruah is this? It's only a teruah with reference to tekiahs. Well, this is a mitzvah which involves tekiahs. There is no mitzvah independently of the blood teruah. So therefore, so you could say, on the contrary, that by doing that, the Torah is saying that teruah which exists, the teruah which exists in contrast to the tekiahs. Or you say no, is that it's that teruah which is independently defined as a teruah. Okay? Independently defined as teruah. So now for a further step, which is I think is a little more speculative, is why would the Torah do that? Or what's the, so like, can we go further in the Machlokas? So far we've defined what the two types of truas are, but we go further, what's that based upon? So I don't know, I was thinking is perhaps, on the one hand, the better side sounds like the side says trua, because trua is really trua, it's intrinsically a trua, and intrinsically is a cry. Right, that's better, that's Yom Teruah, it's a day of a cry. Right, but what's interesting is that, and this, I think this is similar to what Shai was saying, is that it doesn't say Yom Teruah, just start crying. It's just take a shofar, right? I mean, it's b'shofar. It's not just the day of crying, right? I mean, the Gemara has to learn it out because the Torah says just the day of crying. It doesn't even say shofar directly. I mean, but it's a cry through via a shofar, and a shofar is an instrument, and the nature of the shofar is like, what do shofars do? I don't really know that much about shofars, but what sounds do they make?
It makes a sound which would pretty much be a tekiya.
A tekiya, right? I would think so. Again, I'm not that well versed in shofar music, you know? But I mean, the idea, like usakatem turo, like you're blowing, like the action of blowing the shofar is like called a tekiya. It's like a blast. I mean, it's a horn. It's not a flute. It's not like a thing that makes cries. It's not that type of an instrument. It's a horn. I mean, horns are, they make blasts, okay? So the idea is like that the nature of the instrument of a shofar is it's an instrument which blasts. Which blasts. It's like, in order to make a trua, you have to start using your tongue and like, you know, artificially, so to speak, you know, do that. It doesn't have holes to put, basically, you know.
No vowels.
No vowels. Right. It just, you have to kind of, you know, artificially make it that way. So Kabi is like, the according to the Shita of Shvarim, he holds that, then this is like, I guess the idea is you're taking a tekiah shofar, and you blow sukatem terua. You blow a tekiah, and then you blow a broken tekiah. The nature of the action that you do with shofars is tekiah. Okay, it's tekiahs. So you take the tekiah and you break it up. That's the cry. The cry is an ordinary action with the shofar, but you just break it. You break it into shvarim, and you break it into a cry. So you give it the property. It's the same action that you do with the shofar. The ordinary action of shofar is just you give it the property of being broken based upon, you know, by splitting it up into three. But to take it and to make a cry, just to make a plain cry out of a thing like the trua, is like kind of not the nature of what shofars do. I mean, that's not a maisa of blowing a shofar, per se. It's like out of place in the context of a tekiah shofar. You're using a shofar. You want to cry, cry. If you're not crying, you're blowing a shofar. So shvarim is essentially, it's an action of blowing like a blast, or the action of a shofar, but it's altered in a way that gives it the quality of a cry. As opposed to in the way which, if you say it's a trua, you have to say that the Torah took like, says, forget it, it's true it's a shofar, but essentially you're not doing an action of a shofar. You're doing an action of crying. Using a shofar. Do you go with the lashon of uskatam trua? It means, and you shall blow, which is the action of a tekiah. Okay, which is the action of a tekiah. Uskatam is the verb of blowing a terua. So it implies that you're doing an action of blasting, but you're making it into a cry. You know, as opposed to when you do a trua, it's not quite usakatim, you know what I mean? It lacks in the action of tekiah. It's a totally different action. It's an action of crying with the shofar, you know what I mean? So he holds, it's like it's shvarim, it's like a type of a tekiah, which is given the property of brokenness. As opposed to a trua, which is not a type of a tekiah, it doesn't do a tekiah. It's just like an independent thing. It's like two separate things. You blow tekiahs, and then you blow truas. You know, so on the, but the other, at the same time, it's almost like, I'm not sure if this is like a way to describe it, it's like, which call, the one Torah wanted to set up Yom Shua, a day of crying. And which call did it sound? At the same, it's like there's two factors. Torah wants to set up a day of crying, at the same time, it wants to set up an idea of tekiah. There's an idea of tekiah, and the tekiah should exist in contrast to the tekiah, for whatever reason. Maybe it's a wake-up call, whatever for ideas are behind it. So which call should it use? In the first, so the framework of Yom Shua, the better call is the Shua. In the framework of the Uskatim Shua, the contrast is of being a set with the tekiah, the shvarim is better. You know what I mean? So the bottom line is, though, so did it choose the that which is intrinsic? But the definition, though, did it choose the kol which is intrinsically a trua, or that kol which exists as a trua in reference to the relative to the tekiah, the relative to the trua? I mean, that part, I think, is that's why I like that part, because that's like more definitive. You know, the other thing is like kind of why did they say it? You know what I mean? It's like that's like a little bit of a why kind of a question. You know, the halachic definition is in essentially the intrinsic trua or the relative trua. Right, and you don't have to get into the philosophy of shofar and the types of cries that it's trying to remind you of crying and even waking you up. And I mean, it's just kind of following the steps. But the steps came from the Ritva and from that the defining the terms, right? I mean, that's what it emerged from. It's a kind of, you know, it's like, that's what I meant, there's like an opening. Like when we did that, and you kind of, right now you remember you asked that, right? I think when I asked what's the machlokas, and he said, and now based upon what we just said, or? That's what, you know, it just got me thinking, yeah, maybe we could use that, given that we're defining the terms and what the two kolos are in terms of brokenness, maybe that could open up the, you know, a way to approach the very question. And clearly, the Gemara is just saying is that they both are cries. I mean, if it says Yom Tshuva, you could justify it in calling them both cries, because there's really there's two kinds of cries. Like a Chola cries this cry, and the Tshuva, and a different guy cries that cry. Someone like who says a death die cries this cry. So that's not the Machlokas. That's just showing you that the term in Teruah could tolerate both meanings. But that's not why they're saying it, because he thinks it should be this type of philosophical cry and this type of philosophical cry. That just more is just showing you that there are actually two kinds of cries. We don't know which one Torah chose. So now we have to talk about, well, what's the nature of, you know, which one's more appropriate for the nature of the mitzvah in terms of the structure of what's being said. Okay, so then, is there a further question before we go further? The next question is there's another side here, which is that it's Shevarim Teruah. Both. Shevarim and then Teruah. Okay? Third possibility. And the Gemara says, oh, so why not Teruah and then Shevarim? Isn't there a fourth possibility? The Gemara says, no. When something happens to a person, they wail first, and then they moan first, and then they get hysterical. That's the nature of a person crying. So therefore, definitely, you're not doing the opposite. Opposite order doesn't make any sense. But the order here is possibly it's a shvar and then shvar. Okay, possibly shvar and then shvar. Right. So the question is, could we define that question? I mean, what's the suffix? I mean, it would seem if you go on and group them in terms of two against one, I mean, the first two guys basically say it's one call. Shvarim or Teruah, we don't know which one. Or this new position, sort of overing to them, is maintaining that it's like a double. Seems like a different type of an idea, or at least, you know. But how does he fit into what we're doing here? I mean, what's this far? What's this far to say that? Okay, so I was thinking like Matt, the Torah is definitely saying it's Yom Teruah, it's a day of cry, day of crying. And it's saying is, how do you do that? You take a shofar and you blow a shofar. And the sound of the shofar is trying to replicate, to mimic the cry. But right, there's two ideas of a cry, there's two ways of looking at a cry. You could take a look at a cry as like a chafta, it's like a sound, a type of a sound. Okay, it's a sound, a type of sound. There are different kinds of sounds. And there's a sound of a cry. Okay. In the framework of sound, types of sounds, so there's a type of sound of a Teruah, there's a type of sound of a Shvarim. The sound of a Shvarim and Teruah don't mix. They're different types of sounds. Like acoustically, whatever, they're different. They're just different types of sounds. So if you're telling me is that the Torah is saying is to create a sound, a chatza of a sound, which mimics a cry. So if the Torah has to choose, well, which sound should it be? There's two kinds of cries. Which sound are we mimicking? Which type of cry? Which sound? Which mimics a cry? There's this sound and there's that sound. But it can't be both, because that's not a type of a sound. It's saying a taking a sound. It's looking at the cry as like a musical or an acoustical phenomenon. And the cry is an acoustical phenomenon. Is well, there's different types of cries, or different chafzas of a cry. But the Shvarim Teruah isn't a chafza of a cry. They're two different sounds. Okay? But you could look at the cry as not as a phenomenon of acoustics, but as a phenomenon of a person, of an experiential phenomenon of a person expressing his emotion, his hurt, through letting out a cry. And in that framework, there's a segue between the Shvarim and the Teruah. And a union of the Shvarim and Teruah is the experience of crying begins with a Shvarim, and the person starts breaking down, and then he loses it. It's like that's the way it happens. It starts all with mourning, and then when it starts hitting him, he starts speaking. You don't just go from just a straight voice to being hysterical. It kind of works its way slowly. So the activity, the human activity or experience of crying really joins the two sounds. The two sounds, which in the phenomenon of acoustics are two totally different sounds, in the framework of a human experience, they're really one continuous human experience. Okay? So the question is the sound of the shofar mimicking you're blowing on the shofar a sound, the shofar is an instrument, and you're creating a sound. But the sound is chosen to reflect, to mimic a cry. Okay, and then the question is, which cry? Is it the music, the sound of the shofar, or the sound of the cry, you know, so to speak? Which type of cry? Or do you say that the sound of the shofar is mimicking the experience? You're using the shofar to mimic the experience of crying. Not just the creating a chafza whose identity is a cry. Because that's not a Shema Torah isn't a cry. But you're making a sound which mimics the Gavra who cries. And the Gavra who cries really incorporates both of them. Yeah, it's really, in a certain sense, which is very interesting, I think, is you could look at it as like a continuum of the three different positions. It's like they're on the spectrum, which is like, it's like you're using a shofar to create crying. You know what I mean? And like how, shofar is an instrument, and a cry is like an experience, you know, like an emotional experience. And it's like how close to the musical, acoustical phenomenon it has to be versus how close to the phenomenon, the emotional, experiential phenomenon of crying does it have to be. It's like the last position maintains it's entirely the human experience of crying. And it's true using a shofar, but you're basically taking the full human experience of crying, even though in music, there's no musical note of a Shvarim Shua, but it's like the mitzvah is basically to mimic the Gavra crying, which involves the full experience of the crying, which is that extreme. The other extreme is the Shvarim guy who says that this is you're using a shofar and you're producing a sound, and the shofars produce blasts. They don't produce cries. Who ever heard of crying on a shofar? So therefore you're taking a Shvarim. Now you could break the blast up so it reflects the quality of crying. You could take the blast and make it into three parts. But the idea is that since this is a mitzvah using a shofar, so therefore the form of the thing is it's the maisa of the blast. It's producing the call of, it's the action of shofar. Whereas the middle position maintains that he doesn't buy the idea of the mitzvah is to replicate the experience, because he holds it as such an instrument, and you have to be producing a sound. And instruments produce sounds. But the sound which is produced is the sound of the cry, of the real cry. So it is an instrument, it is a musical note, but it's not the standard musical note of a shofar, but it's a different musical note, the musical note which is more in line with the quality of cry. But it still has to be a musical note. It can't be an human experience, which is a combination of two different musical notes. That's not a music, that's not the idea of a blow. It's an instrument, and you're producing a call. Right, so it's like the three, three levels, degrees within the same question. Why did the Torah bring about? The Torah has a philosophical idea that it's a day of crying. Why? Whatever philosophical reason, who cares? But now the question halachically is setting up an action of crying using a shofar. How is it going to set itself up? That's the question. And that's what we don't know. It's a topic. So that's what we do. We do them all. Okay? Good, right?
Yeah, it's good.
Where's the
third sheet
to find?
Third sheet is on Adam and Aleph. Iskin Rav Obikisri. So the skinny, next to the Tosis. Okay? Now, this next thing, there's still a ton of stuff to do in the sugya. It's amazing how much Rosh Hashanah talk in the sugya. But I'm not sure. I think the natural place, I really want to get to the Rambam, because the Rambam is a really, really tough problem in the Rambam. And it's really, it's very interesting. But I think that the natural order here is the next question. And this is also something we do in Yeshiva. Is a machlokas whether Shevarim Terua is done in neshima achas or shtei neshimas, which means in one breath or in two breaths. Do you breathe between the shvarim and the terua? The person who blows it, does he make one continuous sound where it just naturally segues from the shvarim to the terua, or does he stop in between, take a breath, and then continue? Okay.
Machlokas
Rishonim. Okay, we're gonna do it. This is what I like to do for tomorrow. Mm-hmm. There's Ran. The Ran brings it down. So machlokas the Ramban says you definitely have to take a break. I'm sorry. He says you definitely do it together. Rabbeinu Tam says no. He says no. People who ever heard of someone who does it in one breath? That's true. It doesn't work that way. Ramban says no. It's one mitzvah. So you have to do it in one breath. I mean, it's broke down in the Ran, if anyone wants to look at it. But there's, I'm going to take that off. And, as an aside, I mean, there's something that's relevant, is that there's a Shita of Rav Yehuda, who maybe we'll take up at some point, I'm not sure, but he holds that Tekiya, Teruah, Tekiya is only one sound. Okay? Mm-hmm. When he counts it, so to speak, we hold there's nine sounds on Rosh Hashanah. Tekiya, Teruah, Tekiya, Tekiya, Teruah, Tekiya, Tekiya, Teruah, Tekiya. He holds there are three. Tekiya, Teruah, Tekiya, one. Tekiya, Teruah, Tekiya, two. Tekiya, Teruah, three. What's the difference? Well, who cares? Call what you want. So it's the same thing. But the difference is that he holds, the simple way to learn, most learn, that he holds that you do it in one breath. Tekiya, Teruah, Tekiya is all in one breath. All in one breath. Because it's one mitzvah. The mitzvah is, so to speak, the way we hold is the mitzvah is to produce nine sounds, nine shofar sounds. And they're grouped, but that's nine sounds. He holds the mitzvah to produce three shofar sounds.
Yeah.
And each sound is a group.
He holds that for Tekiya Shvarim Tekiya as well?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So not specifically...
No. Well, there's only real one Shvarim. I mean, the Shvarim. You know, whatever Shvarim means.
Right.
Whatever Shvarim means. But he counts it as one thing. Okay, so... That's relevant to see the Ran, but I mean, he definitely does it one breath. So that's kind of what Ramban says. If he does it one, see and draw in one breath, certainly the Sharman draw in one breath. That's kind of his argument. But you can look at the Ran, and the Ran brings down the Machlokes. It's Machlokes between the Ramban and the Ran and others. I mean, the Rambam, in theory, the Ram, he doesn't say, but when the Ram counts it, he says there are 30 kolos. 30 sounds of shofar, which seems to indicate that he breaks counts it as two sounds. Shram and Shram, because that's how you get 30. Just let me just show you, tell you where it is exactly. It's on Daf. It's on Daf Arif. Yes. It's on Daf Yudam Beis and Daf Arif and Rosh Hashanah. I guess it's
Yudam
Beis. Yeah. It's kind of jumping in the middle piece, but it's in Kalmakum Sarkli Zara Lassos Hashavarim. Cool on. Shavarim is the last word in the line. It's about two thirds of the way down the page. Shvarim is the last one. And we come back on Tzarek Lim Zar Lassel HaShavarim. Yeah. Okay, so there's that. And then there's another thing I wanted to do in the Ran also, which is... the next thing is also there's the Ran of the Mishnah, maybe we'll take on. The Ran of the Mishnah, it's on you. And Tessim Beis to the top. Mishnah of the Gemara. It's another little thing. Oh, the Lishon, take it out. So we'll see, and maybe we'll save the Rambam for next week. There's the Rambam and Raivar. There's a bunch of Rambams. There's a bunch of stuff here. As an aside, in Yeshiva we do, that's why we do the last set of the Tios. I forget, the ones after, I think the ones before Kadosh Haskava, in the middle of, after Chazor Shatz. The last ones we do in the Shtron Turoz in two breaths.
I think we do that in the Shul.
Okay, good.
You do them both in one breath.
Most of the sounds we do all in one breath. But since there are positions who hold that you do it in two breaths, so we do the ones in the kind of just, you know, the ones at the end, we just do three sets of Tashrat, Tekiya Shon Teruah Tekiya, to be fulfilled those positions who hold that it has to specifically be in two breaths. You know what I mean?